Hey, welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow by learning new things, getting inspired, and breaking down the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to episode 78, Interview with Ben Burns. Ben is the digital director of Blind and is instrumental in creating the future alongside Chris Doe. If you haven't heard of the future, they are creating phenomenal educational materials for creative professionals. In this episode, Ben and I talk about his journey from design school to being a veteran and narcotics agent, and how being a non-creative sparked his creative career, and how fear is holding you back in growing your creative business. Show notes for this episode are available at gwtw.co/78. You know, video has to be part of your marketing arsenal, but how will you stand out and get noticed in a crowded digital world where time and attention is in short supply? Chris Martin Studios is a video production company that answers that question and many others with strategy and creative services for agencies, creative professionals, entrepreneurs, and those who dare to build a better world. Head to chrismartinstudios.com to see the latest goods produced. And while you're there, sign up for my weekly email newsletter, The Curiosity Lab. It's a great way to stay connected with Chris Martin Studios and meet awesome people changing the world. All right, you ready for this interview with Ben? Hey, Chris, cue the transitional music. Ben, thank you for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. Why don't you start by introducing yourself and share a little bit about what you do?
Definitely. So my name is Ben Burns. I am the digital director here at Blind. We're a brand strategy consultancy in Santa Monica, California. I've been a designer for 10 years. I took a little detour into law enforcement and the military there in the middle, but I specialize in UI and UX design.
Awesome. You know, you mentioned your law enforcement journey. And you told that story in Making the Leap, Why I Hesitated. And I was just blown away by not only how well you wrote. I mean, I was captivated. I was in the story when you're talking about bashing in doors. I'm there. But yeah. How did you learn to go from being a police officer and applying that to entrepreneurship and creativity?
Well, everything was centered around fear. So I was the kid, you know, growing up, I was the guy who was in the corner at his birthday party, flipping through his Pokemon cards. You know, I was never good with crowds. I was just a scared kid. I was the kid that, like, you know, they climbed onto the high dive and then just never made it down. Mm-hmm. One time falling flat on my face and holding onto the board for dear life. So I've always struggled with fear. And you know, I think I graduated college and testosterone must have been flowing through me. And I was like, I'm going to go join I think I was watching 24 at the time. And I was like, I can be Jack Bauer. I had this like revelation. So, you know, I took a chance and applied for the CIA and they did not hire me. And I just worked my way down until I got a job as a police officer. Being exposed to really tactical and fearful situation as a police officer, I learned to move forward all the while feeling the fear. Mm-hmm. So after I made the jump from police officer to entrepreneur, you know, that jump was one fraught with fear and anxiety, and just being able to move through that is a skill that I drew from my days as a cop.
Wow. How have those pursuits, non-creative pursuits, impacted your creative work now? I mean, I would imagine that a lot has impacted it.
Yeah, yeah. So dealing with people, and notice I said dealing with people.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. You know, hard to deal with clients. I'm a softie at heart. And, you know, a lot of things that people say kind of impact me. Mm-hmm. Still, however, working in law enforcement and stuff, I dealt with a lot of difficult people. And so, you know, that has helped immensely. And then just having that work ethic, the confidence drawn from that career, all of it kind of helped me out.
I bet. In a recent video that I saw, a day in the life of a designer, you dropped this bomb of what I'll call hustle wisdom. And you said, just because you don't get paid for your work doesn't mean you can't work.
Yes.
How does the work you produce with the future for free impact what you end up getting paid for?
Yeah. So I should clarify this. Mm-hmm. I do not think that designers or creatives should do spec work. Spec work being, here, let me do this thing for you for free, and if you like it, then you can pay me. I think that that's a bad business practice. It's really, really difficult to get somebody to pay for work that's already been done for free. Mm-hmm. So that being said, my motivation behind that quote was, you can work for yourself. You can do personal projects. You can grind through things and create great design without the interaction of a client. I think in the creative ecosystem, a lot of designers and you know, people like that, they blame crappy portfolios mm-hmm. on a lack of paid work. Mm-hmm. And that's totally unacceptable. If you have the skill and the time to flex those muscles, which if you're not getting a lot of paid work, you should have plenty of time. You need to be flexing those muscles. You need to be creating. Mm-hmm. And so that was really the drive. So the involvement with the future, I don't know if it applies there. Basically, I work for Blind, mm-hmm. and Chris Doe is the founder of both Blind and the Future. And so the main reason why I'm here in LA is to help him grow the future. That is, even though I'm a Blind employee, mm-hmm. that's really my focus here.
Cool. Yeah. I would imagine there's a lot of fear that you experience as you're helping Chris build the future.
Oh man. Okay, so this guy, and for the audience, if you don't know Chris Doe, I suggest seeking out the future on YouTube. I mean, working with him, it's like working with a guru and a drill instructor, kind of all wrapped up in one, right?
Yeah.
He took me under his wing in 2013 and mentored me throughout the growth of my practice. And working with him then, it was just amazing the depth of which he cared for people. Mm-hmm. And then now working with him at Blind, he has that depth, but he's also like, it's hard to describe. He's a magic man. And, getting trained by him is just unbelievable.
And I would imagine that you struggle not only with fear, but it's like, am I prepared enough? Am I confident
yes.
enough? And you had written in a blog post that I was confident because I knew that I possessed the tool set to respond to whatever comes next.
Yeah.
Fear inspired preparation, preparation inspired confidence. And so how does the work you do daily and working with Chris really prepare you and learn new things?
Yeah, so there's definite like imposter syndrome going on. Mm-hmm. The fear of failure is very real in my life right now, even still. You know, the other creative directors here, Matthew Encina and Greg Gunn, they're amazing at what they do. I mean, Matthew's spot with Coldplay is probably one of my top 10 creative pieces of all time. Mm. And being at the same level as those guys and requiring to play at that level is just very intimidating. Hmm. So, and then, you know, having Chris's expectations and things like that and him holding me to a certain bar is just super motivating. But yeah, there is that fear, totally.
So how did you change what you knew possible when you're playing at that different level, as you said? Because it's like, I imagine that you have to dream differently and think differently. I mean, how have you been learning to do that?
You know, it's surprising. The clients with more money are easier to work with than the clients with no money.
Really?
It's really surprising because they're detached. Mm-hmm. So if as a designer, like let's say you're working on a $500 logo or, you know, $1,000 logo, at that level of budget, that's somebody pulling food out of their kid's mouth to feed you. Right? So it's coming out of their personal savings. It's everything that they have in the world and they're putting it out and they're trying to get you to communicate to you that, hey, this is all the money I have, you know? It's a little bit desperate. Mm-hmm. When you work with clients at a much larger scale, they're detached from the money. And so you know, the job goes very, very differently. They understand business principles, and they're the kind of clients that they're going to trust you to guide them creatively, so that, you know, they just don't want to add more work to their plate. Mm-hmm. And since you brought in at an expert level pay, it's a totally different world. That being said, the potential for failure, if you absolutely bomb the project and just completely don't deliver, the consequences are much higher. And so battling with that is definitely intimidating.
Oh, for sure. And I imagine that first project where you're new to LA and you're new to this environment. I mean, how big did your eyes get?
Dude, I can't even tell you. I mean, there was one, we did a 4-part episode series on it about how we lost a $1 million client. And that was one of the first proposals that I put together. And so just having that opportunity, number one, and number two, losing it, it was a tough pill to swallow. But we learned a ton from that process. I mean, Blind has fielded $1 million jobs many, many times before, never on the digital side. And so this was a new experience for everybody, and we definitely learned a lot.
Interesting. The way you speak of the environment that you entered with Chris and Matthew and the other creative, was it Greg?
Yep, Greg.
With Greg. It sounds like the people that you're collaborating with are the ones that are bringing you up, that are transforming your career. How can other creative professionals harness that power of collaboration? Because oftentimes, at least in my experience, we all just kind of want to play by ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't want to pollute our pure ideas with other people's ideas. And yet you and the work that you're doing there is like proof that collaboration is what scales.
Totally, totally. I am a full believer in collaboration. And, you know, I would say there's a great quote. I think it was Jim Rohn that said it. You are the average of the top five people that you spend the most time with. I believe that to be true. And so really, you need to do an audit of who you're hanging out with, because if they're not people that you want to aspire to be, people that are better than you are, people that are helping you guide you in the right way, you need to reconsider that. In terms of collaboration, the people that have helped me the most through my career have always been in a mentor role. So I was not a design student in college. I bounced around in advertising and media arts and just trying to figure out, you know, what I wanted to do in the creative sphere. And I got an internship with a company called Post No Bills in Columbia, South Carolina. And the creative director there took me under her wing and trained me how to be a designer. So from the ground up, she taught me everything that I know about design. And that was a pure mentorship role. I worked for free for her for 6 months and then eventually was hired. So that kind of got my start. And then, you know, the story with Chris mentoring me in the beginning of my business, you know, helping me grow from a $50 logo to a $30,000 identity engagement. I mean, everything that I have, I can credit towards a mentor. That being said, I think business development can be done with cross-discipline collaboration. So when we look at like photographers, for example, if you're a web designer and you create WordPress sites, partnering with a wedding photographer can get you consistent business simply by saying, hey, I'm a website designer. I can do wedding websites. Let's partner up. And collaborating cross discipline, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Let's touch on mentorship a little bit, because I think that was a very interesting point that you made. But how did you go about mentorship? I mean, was it something that you reached out and asked people? Did they come to you and say, hey, I recognize greatness in you, let me bring it out? I mean, what was your responsibility and role in seeking and obtaining mentorship?
100% gratitude.
Explain.
Seriously. So with the internship, I showed up with no portfolio to a crazy creative agency, super hip, and I wore a suit. So I showed up with no portfolio, a resume, and a suit to this creative shop. I interviewed, and then afterwards, immediately, within 30 minutes, I had, you know, delivered a hand-drawn thank you note. From that, the creative director called me back, and she was like, hey, listen, you don't have a portfolio, and that's a problem. You have 24 hours to show me some work.
Wow.
So I went back, I didn't sleep, and I put together an entire portfolio. Now, mind you, it was horrible. It was a horrible portfolio, but I put it together in 24 hours and got the job. And she said later it was because he thanked me. Hmm. And with Chris, it was the same thing. So it was in the early stages of his YouTube career. And I reached out and I sent him this long Facebook letter. And I just said, listen, man, thank you so much. I just wanted to let you know that the content that you guys are putting out means the world to me. I've already doubled what I'm making. Just thank you. Hmm. From that, he was like, hey, no problem. You want to chat tomorrow? And I was like, oh my God, no. So gratitude.
Yeah. Was saying thank you, was that, it almost seems like based upon your response of him saying, hey, let's talk tomorrow, it almost seemed like saying thank you was a safe thing to say. Like sometimes if we ask people for something, you know, we think that how risky that could be, you know. Yeah. We don't think saying thank you could be risky, but it almost sound like it opened up something that maybe you weren't prepared for at yep. first.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've asked for mentorships directly. And I've also had them kind of offered to me, and it doesn't work out as well as if you genuinely try and start a relationship through gratitude.
If I were to sum up the wisdom of your writing that you have on Medium, it's that your success is because you choose to act, not only in spite of fear, but just straight up action. Why do you think creative professionals struggle with action?
Okay, so I'm actually doing a talk on fear in August. I've been researching this a lot. Fear is very closely tied to imagination. And so if you're a creative, your imagination is probably running overtime. And so every fear that you face, whether it's fear of picking up the phone or fear of collaborating with somebody, fear of failure, going out on your own, all of those fears are amplified because we are creative. Hmm. And so just the act of being afraid of something can just stop action altogether. And I think a lot of people wait to overcome fear, or I should say wait to act until they overcome the fear. Hmm. And it's just a vicious cycle. It never goes away. That fear never gets overcome until you act.
Yeah.
And so my advice is to put yourself in a decision point, you know, put yourself in a, you know, if you're scared of cold calling, pick up the phone and hold it in your hand and have the number ready on the phone. And then just take a physical action, whether it's to stand up or walk around or something that will engage the muscles. Because that fear response, I mean, blood rushes to your muscles, your nerves start shutting down in your appendages, you know, that there's a physiological response to fear. Mm-hmm. And so the best thing is to lean into that and just punch in that number. Yeah. Or take that physical action, even if you're running away.
Yeah,
you know, just take that physical action.
It's the safest thing to do is keep it in your mind, because we can act like we're the biggest thing in the world in our mind. But, you know, even running away, I think that's a really good point. And I hadn't really thought of it that way, that sometimes running away and retreating is as healthy as, you know, pressing send on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. By acting, you're either going to succeed or fail. Mm-hmm. And so by doing nothing, both options are open, and you never reap the consequences of either. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, how do you learn if you don't do? Because, you know, learning is the response of success or failure. And
yeah.
I don't know. We only, yeah. It's one of those topics where we could probably spin for hours on it. What's one thing you wish more creative professionals did?
Share.
How so?
Share. This is something I'm guilty of, right? I am not the best designer in the world. And that has held me back from sharing a lot of my process. And as I work with younger designers and less experienced designers, I'm realizing that little bits of my process and little bits of the what I've done creatively can actually help them. And by waiting until this point in my life, 3 decades later, to start sharing, how many people missed out on the value that I could offer them? Mm-hmm. And so I would say, you know, stop being intimidated by those amazing designers online, by those amazing creatives online, and start sharing your process and sharing your work.
So in terms of sharing process, I mean, is it seeing how the sausage is made? Is it seeing, you know, the thought that goes into it? Is it everything? Is it none of that?
Yeah, it's everything. Everything. I think that we can learn from each other's failures. Hmm. You know, this logo didn't work out here because X. Hmm. And a million people would love that information. So I think complete transparency is like the North Star, right? If you could have, what's that movie with the guy where he's like in the bubble as a TV show?
I'm just thinking Bubble Boy with Jake Gyllenhaal. But that's probably not what you're meaning.
It's Jim Carrey.
Oh, Truman Show.
Truman Show, yeah, the ultimate transparency. So if I could create a Truman Show around myself, mm-hmm. I totally would. Yeah. Because success, failure, process, it all can be learning opportunities for other people.
Yeah, and at the rate you guys are going there at the future, you're probably going to have that next year.
Yeah, I think Chris is recording out in the main stage, and Matthew's doing something with his team too. So, yeah.
So, do you all have teams that you work with, or like separate teams and entourages and all that stuff?
Well, for the future, there's one core team. There's 3 full-time people and then a whole bunch of volunteers, myself included. Mm-hmm. And then for Blind, we have a big group of designers. And then for the motion stuff, we pull in a lot of freelancers. So we pull the best in the business on to come tackle creative problems. And then that's it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So for you personally, you're involved with the work in Blind. You're involved with the future. But what do you want to be known for?
That's a tough question. It really is. I've thought about that. And, you know, I want to be known for as the guy that works, that can outwork anybody. You know, I think that that's just been persistent throughout my career. It's just one of those things where, you know, I know that I don't have the raw talent that a lot of these other guys do. Mm-hmm. And so the way I make up for that is just hustle. Mm-hmm. So if I could be known as the hardest working designer in the space, I'd love it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's awesome too. And one of the things that we hear and we see a lot, like with Gary Vaynerchuk, for example, is that he talks about hustle all the time, but he looks absolutely miserable. And so I guess my ask for you is work hard and look like you actually enjoy it. Because I think when people see how much you're enjoying the hard work, I think then it helps people connect with that hard work more and want to work hard because they see those positive examples.
Right. Well, and you know, the question always comes up is it work if you're enjoying yourself, you know? And you know, I just did a video that showed my entire day with like my 24 hours. And I think I woke up at 7 and I finally got to sleep after 3. Mm-hmm. Everybody's really worried about my sleep. I would say 70% of the comments are like, oh my God, you need to get more sleep, or, you know, this is not realistic. How could you sleep so little? Mm-hmm. But I wake up excited every day for the day, and then I go to bed completely exhausted and excited for the next day. Yeah. Now, part of that is it was an extraordinary day, and, you know, I have a 2-year-old daughter. So there are other factors at play, but I get enough sleep.
When you get to drive an awesome minivan. I mean,
that's right.
That was
right.
My favorite moment of the video right there is when you cut to the wide shot of the minivan going down the road.
That's right. That's right.
If you could give one resource, be it a book, a video, to anyone, what would it be and why?
Okay, so there are a million different resources that I could give. My favorites are Michael Janda's Burn Your Portfolio. I absolutely love Win Without Pitching Manifesto by Blair Enns. Any one of Marty Neumeier's books is amazing. Value Proposition Design, that's an awesome book. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think that we need to stop consuming. Hmm. or at least put a pause in it. I think that if everybody stopped consuming content and stopped consuming resources and just hit the pause button on all of it just for a month and took action in place of that, we could accomplish amazing things. And so, you know, when I look at this like question, I probably wouldn't give anything. I would instead give a mandate that said, hey, stop and do.
So how do you stop and do today?
I have this approach to scheduling that's just completely, I forget what they call it. It's something like the zero schedule or something like that, where every single minute in my workday is planned out. Wow. And so I literally don't have time to consume a lot of content. So I'll listen to podcasts and stuff on my way home, which is a great resource. You know, multitasking at that is just, the traffic here is unbelievable. So that's a good thing for me. But yeah, I schedule myself out of any kind of consumption there.
Yeah. That's a really interesting point of just consuming less, making more. And so on that lines, though, how do you refuel your creative supply?
This is a great question because I've been burnt out before. And that was actually the inspiration behind Burnt Creative. Was I was just feeling burnt out. And, you know, honestly, I don't have a great answer for that. I draw inspiration from all over the place. You know, there's websites online that I take a look at. But honestly, the way that I'm refueling at this point is hanging out with my daughter and playing with her. And that is just, I mean, we're playing with crayons. I haven't played with crayons in 20 years. You know what I mean? So.
Well, and what an amazing way to see the world from a completely fresh, new experience as well.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, final question, Ben. What are you excited about today?
Oh, man. Everything, man. I'm excited about the future. But let's go weird with this one.
Oh, please.
Yeah, let's just get really weird.
Like Twin Peaks Episode 8 weird?
No. We're just off the wall. Nerf guns. I don't know how many of you who are in your 30s that played with Nerf guns as a kid, if you haven't seen the recent ones, they are amazing. There's ones that go like 30 feet per second and they sting. Gosh. I've got four of them. It's awesome. I'm super excited about the potential for that brand. I'm going to be building my arsenal.
Awesome. Well, Ben, on that note, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. I have thoroughly enjoyed learning more about you, the work that you're doing, and you're just an enjoyable person to talk to.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it. It was a great opportunity for me as well.
Yeah, thank you. That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much to Ben for sharing his passion and wisdom for not only producing great work for his clients, but helping creative professionals grow their businesses. And thank you for taking the time to listen to Getting Work to Work. It means a lot to me that you're here. Would you be willing to share this podcast with your friends and other creative professionals and entrepreneurs? You can send them to gwtw.co, where they can subscribe to Getting Work to Work, sign up for the Curiosity Lab, and find the various social media links should they want to be social with me. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work? Or maybe you need some advice? Drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm chris@chrismartinstudios.com. In a recent video produced by The Future, I love something that Ben said in the video. He said, "Just because you don't get paid for your work doesn't mean you can't work. Don't let that keep you back from building a portfolio and a body of work that you can be proud of and that will get you more work." Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.